Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word.
We know that you've been divinely appointed to hear the Victory in Living broadcast, and believe that you will receive insight in fulfilling your divine destiny. So get your pen and paper ready to take notes.
That's right, Pam, because when you are fulfilling your divine destiny, then you will be able to help others understand how to fulfill their divine destiny.
And before we get started, we'd like to tell you how you can contact us.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, Victory in Living at AOL.com. Please visit us at our website at Victory in Living Ministries, again, all one word, Victory in Living Ministries.org.
So, Ray, have you got a good song picked out for our radio audience?
We got a real good song off of our CD, and the title of it is "Wait Till You See My Brand New Home."
Thank you, Ray. That was really an anointed song. Well, it's that time again, time to study the Word of God. We're studying on how to fulfill our divine destiny. Ready, Ray?
Hey, I'm ready. Let's get started with Lesson 5.
Okay. This week, our topic is Attend to God's Word. Let's look again at Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. So, Ray, over the last 4 weeks, what have we learned so far about fulfilling our divine destiny?
Number one, that everyone has a divine destiny. Why don't you tell us what destiny really means?
Well, last week we decided the best meaning for our study of destiny was the design, the goal, the intent, the intention, or the objective of our lives.
Number two, we have to leave the past behind.
You know, Ray, that's right, because in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, so that if anyone is in Christ, that one is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Isaiah 43:18 reads, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old.
Hey, we were also introduced to the power twins of faith and patience.
You have to have faith to please God, because Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And then, Ray, we found out that when we use our faith, we have opportunities for patience to work our perfect work, according to James 1:4. But let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing.
These have really been some powerful lessons. Number three, we talked about getting acquainted with God. A, we must know who God is so we can know what God has planned for us. To do that, B, we must read His Word, pray or talk to Him, listen, that means be still and quiet before Him so He can talk to you.
In that same lesson, we learn that God is omnipresent, that He is everywhere, all the time, every minute of every day. We also found that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth.
Then last week in lesson four, we discussed how to discover your divine destiny. Pam, last week you asked me a loaded question. It's your turn this week. What is God's will?
Well, that's easy. It's His Word, God's Word, the Bible, which means it is available to everyone. And you know, as you begin to study the Word, you will discover much of it is written in the past tense, meaning that it has already been accomplished.
Right. Look at these scriptures, 1 Peter 2:24. He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that dying to sins we might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And in John 16:33, Jesus said, I have spoken to you these things to you that you might have peace in me. In the world you may have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then Philippians 4:19 sums it up, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
So, Ray, what we are, who we are, and what we have in Christ is for right now, not in the future, because He has already done the work. Folks, we need to realize that we can walk as victors and conquerors, because greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world, according to 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
That's right, Pam. But simply, He has already said it, number one. He has already done it, number two. And number three, all we have to do is receive it as it has already been done.
Okay, so the next step is you have to begin to pursue your divine destiny with faith. Hebrews 11:1. In the Amplified reads like this, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the thing we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses.
And finally, last week, we talked about the fact that God has given everybody a dream, a strongly desired goal or purpose. The goal is the purpose of an endeavor or the finish line of a race.
And, you know, we asked the audience last week if God had given them a dream. Have you seen yourself doing something for God or that would bring glory to Him? You know, sometimes He prepares us by allowing us to see ourselves doing these things. Like last week when we talked about Peter and the Gentiles, Noah and the Ark, Joshua, Caleb and the Promised Land, all of these Bible characters had dreams and they saw them to fulfillment.
Which brings us to lesson 5, attend to God's Word. You know, Pam, to make something happen and realize the fulfillment of God's Word, you have to know what God's Word says.
You do have to know what God's Word says. Right? A lot of people misquote God's Word. They think God's Word says something because they heard a preacher or somebody quote it as God's Word, when in actuality, that is not what God's Word has said.
Amen.
For instance, how many have ever heard that the Bible says that cleanliness is next to godliness? That's not actually scripture, and things can totally be taken out of context. So we for ourselves need to know what God's Word says. Always check it out for yourselves.
The best way to learn what His Word says is to read it.
The amount of attention we're willing to give the Word determines if we will fulfill our divine destiny. Let that sink in for a minute. So many say they just can't get to where God wants them to be, His divine will in their lives. Well, how much time have they been willing to give to His Word? Think about it. Are you one of those who want to grab a quick Psalms or Proverbs nugget in the morning? Are you one of those, I heard a preacher describe one time, your prayer is down on one knee and up on the other? Praise the Lord.
So we need to meditate on the Word. Get the Word, plant it in your heart, and then when you need it to come forth, it will come forth. Psalms 119:11 says, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, Study earnestly to present yourselves approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Right, let's take a minute and look at Joshua 1:8 in several translations. The King James Version reads this way, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The New International Version reads like this, Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The New Living Translation reads, Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. The Message Bible reads, And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. And another translation reads, And then shalt thou be able to deal wisely with the affairs of life. How can we be a success if we don't deal wisely with the affairs of life? So how important is the Word of God?
It is the key to our success. It is the roadmap to our divine destiny.
You know, wisdom is lacking in today's world. You know, I can remember my mama saying, and yeah, I call her mama. Some people say you should say mother, but my mother was a mom. And I can remember her saying, some people are so smart, they're stupid. They're so intelligent that in the simple things, they're actually very, well, almost like I said, stupid. But who did God say He sent the Word to?
To the simple, and it will confound the wise.
The wisdom that we're talking about is the wisdom that is the ability to discern inward qualities and relationships. Having a spiritual insight, having a good sense about things, having good judgment, a wise attitude or a wise course of action. The wisdom of the Bible.
Pam, wisdom and knowledge go together. Knowledge applies to facts or ideals acquired by study, investigation, observation, and experience.
So we have wisdom to read the Word of God and to study it and to pray. Then we acquire knowledge because we have applied the facts and ideals attained from studying the Word and prayer. Our success is not measured by anyone else's. If you're doing what God told you to do, then you are successful. God is fair, and He does not compare us with anyone else.
Not like teachers in school. If they have one sibling, then a younger one, they seem to expect the younger to be just like the older. But each child or person should be judged on their own merits. This is the way God judges us.
You're right, Ray. Let's look at Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, and has not stood in the way of sinners, and has not sat in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is only in the law of Jehovah, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivulets of water, that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf shall not wither, and all which he does shall be blessed." Are we being blessed by what the world principles say? Think about it. We hear, buy, sell, borrow, lend. Let's read that passage in the Amplified. "Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advices, their plans, and purposes, nor stands, submissive and inactive, in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest, where the scornful and the mockers gather."
Psalms 1 and 2, "But his delight and his desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night."
And then verse 3 tells us, "And he shall be like a tree, firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity." You know, Ray, that reminds me about the time that we had gone to Texarkana to build a church, and God told us to sell our house in Irving and move there and build that church. Could you tell us about that?
This was back in 1980, and houses were not selling real good at that time. This was in the month of first week of January or the second week, and it was winter time, and things wasn't selling good, but God told us to sell it. And we put an ad in the paper on Monday, and we got a call from a real estate agent on Tuesday that there was a man coming to buy. And the way we were selling it was just so much cash, and we would carry a second with him. And God gave us enough money to pay off every bill we owed and to buy some property and to build a church. And we put it forth in the work of God. So God really answered prayer big that day.
So what you're saying, not only did God provide a way for us to have the cash to pay off all of our debts, do what we needed to do toward building the church, but there was also a five-year income, wasn't there?
Right.
So God's a big God, and when he comes through, he usually comes through in a big way. So we need to look to God first and then to the other indicators. Have you ever noticed that a tree in the winter, when the sap is not running and goes back down into the roots of the tree, that it looks like it's dead? But the life is in the foundation or the roots of the tree. There is a root system beneath the tree that's deep enough and strong enough to support it. All the life is there. That tree is just as much alive in the winter as it is during any other time of the year. It just doesn't look like it. So it's with us. Our roots need to be so deep, wound around the rock, Christ Jesus, that we cannot be shaken, we cannot be moved, but that we know that in due season that we are going to bear fruit. So we have wisdom, and we know to meditate in the Word, but if we don't practice the Word, then we've not done anything.
Pam, it's important to know that God's Word does not change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Meditating is the easy part, but we must put what we've learned into practice. A lot of people have heard knowledge, but they don't have any experience. Remember, trying to get your first job straight out of school, do you remember that?
Sure do, Ray. The answer was always, sorry, you don't have any experience. And I wanted to say, no, dummy, I don't, because no one will hire me. But of course, then, after your first job, you were able to move up because of the experience that you had acquired. Do you know, Ray, that faith has to have some legs, arms, and muscles?
It says in James 2:18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. But show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show ye thee my faith by my works. The New International Version reads, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.
Good. You know, a lot of believers go around hollering that they want this and that and the other, but they're not doing anything that they say. I'm believing God for finances, but
when the offerings come around, the offering pans, they turn their noses up and don't give.
Another one will begin thanking God that He is supplying their needs, and when the time comes to give,
we'll give all that He has, rejoicing because He knows Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you watch the one who stepped out on the Word and began to practice what the Word said, he will start climbing and climbing.
But the other one who refused to step out in faith will still be hollering because he's not doing anything that God can bless. What we are saying is that you don't look at all the circumstances and situations and then try to figure out for ourselves, are we going to put the Word first?
We put the Word first. There are those who are spiritually fat who sit around hollering, I know the Word, but they're not doing anything about it. But there are also those who are practicing the Word. James 1:23-24 says, for if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
So, are we trying to get by on the Word we learned years ago? Are we living in the past or waiting for the future? What about today? Jesus said that if we would get into the Word, we could have success in our lives now. Remember, we must meditate in the Word and
we must practice the Word then.
We must put the Word first in our life by becoming Word conscious, and we must let the Word reign supreme in our lives. When we face tests and trials, crises and emergencies, the person who is well versed in the Word will start recalling the important scriptures in relationship to the situation. Remember Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
What we are saying is, apply the Word first, and then the avenue that God wants you to take will become clear to you. When you face illnesses, we should immediately hear the Scripture. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
You know, Ray, we know that God's perfect will is for everyone to be saved, because John 3:17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We also know that according to Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, that we have been set free from everything that is caused by sin, which would be sickness, disease, and poverty. You know, salvation comes from the word sozo. I probably didn't pronounce that correctly, but it means everything we have need of. Most churches forget to tell new Christians that. They just don't get trained in this truth.
But Pam, we can know that this is our divine destiny as we read the Word of God. And the only way it will do us any good is when we accept and act on what God has already made available.
So God has already purchased our healing. It is our responsibility to accept it.
And He has already, what, supplied all our need. It is our responsibility to act like it.
In other words, it is our responsibility to walk in the light and the liberty of God's Word. Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." James 1:25 says, "For whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The devil will run when he sees a child of God who knows who he is in Christ, because he know he has already been defeated. So, don't think, no.
Take what God has already offered you and run with it, like a dog would with a bone. Live in the liberty and the happiness that belong to you by walking in God's Word.
You know, Ray, I would like to say a closing prayer tonight. And if you're listening, just kind of repeat after me. Thank you, Father, that the Word says in Psalms 119:11, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." And as we do this, we know that we will find and enter into Your divine destiny for our lives. Because You said in Jeremiah 1:5 that before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I consecrated you. And we know that in Jeremiah 29:11, You told us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future."
That was a great lesson, honey, lesson 5. And I'm really excited about these lessons. You need to get these lessons because they really be a blessing. Because Pam and I have been teaching in ministry for over 35 years, and we really believe that God is going to answer prayer and do some exciting things, because this is the year of fulfillment, and the glory shall be seen like never before.
And we look forward to hearing from you and being with you again next week. God bless.
Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, according to Numbers 6:24-26.
Where you see my